Let's grab our Bibles, if you would, please. Hold those up in the air. Repeat this after me. This is my Bible, and I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have, and I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open up my heart and my mind to God's Word today. Amen. Amen. Go and open up your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of John, chapter 11. We're in a series entitled The Glory of God. I want to teach you about the glory of God. I want you to be aware of it. I want you to understand the glory of God. I want it to be something that you can have expectation in, something that you can be confident and look for. You know, too many times the idea of the glory of God has been shut up in the church to where people think it's just like a feel-good moment or a feel-good service. But I want you to see that the glory of God is something real and tangible. It's something that can invade someone's dark world. It's something that can invade a person's difficult situation. You know, here we are in a world that has great need. And you think to yourself, the church doesn't need just a bunch of more bless me services. What we need is for the church to move into these places of hurt in the world and to bring the glory of God into those locations. I hope in this series your mind shifts on what glory is. That it's not light, it's not smoke, it's not, you know, fog or whatever sign or wonder you might be thinking, goosebumps, but it's something that makes a difference. It's something that's real and important and valuable. Here in John chapter 11, it kind of paints a picture very similarly. Lazarus, I used this last week, but I'll quickly reset this foundation. It's our key verse for the series. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus. Lazarus dies. Lazarus's sisters had asked Jesus to come, and he didn't show up when they wanted him to. So now Lazarus is dead. So the situation looks hopeless. It looks like it's at its end. It looks like there's nothing that can be done. And there's many times in people's lives where that's exactly how they feel, that the church is there too late, or that no one has been there. It's over. There's nothing that can be done. But I'm here to tell you, all things are possible for those who believe. That Jesus has a way of turning dead situations and turning them around. Jesus has the way of making the impossible possible, okay? And that's all the glory of God. And so here, Jesus steps in and he begins to talk to Lazarus, his sister, and that's where we'll pick up in our scriptures, verse 38. So Jesus, again being deeply moved within, came to the tomb, and now it was a cave, and there was a stone laying against it. Jesus said, that was to them, remove the stone. But Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Did I not say that if you believe? Now, he wasn't telling her to believe in the glory. He was saying, believe in him. Did I not say, if you believe me, or keep your eyes on me, you will see with your eyes the glory of God. Now, the word see there is the word you're going to stand back and you're going to be amazed. Your eyes are going to pop out of your head, your mouth's going to hang open, and you're going to go, oh my goodness, I did not see that coming. This is something that was beyond what I could ask, think, or imagine. Amen. That's where the glory needs to get in. You see, they were in a desperate place. They were in a hurting place. They were in a tragic place. And that's exactly what Jesus said. He said, you're going to see the glory of God in your tragedy. You're going to see the glory of God in your difficult moment, in the impossible moment, where everything looks like it's wrong and there is no hope. That's exactly when the glory of God needs to show up. Amen? Amen? Now, I want to define the glory real quick to kind of paint a picture and help you kind of see this. Just define the glory in your mind throughout today's message and throughout this series as any time the tangible goodness of God shows up in any capacity. See, last week I talked about the goodness of God, and that truly is the glory of God. When God's goodness provides food when there was no food, that's the glory showing up. When God's goodness provides grace when you didn't deserve it, that's the glory of God showing up. Are you understanding? When healing hits your body, that's God's goodness healing your body. That's the glory of God showing up. When Jesus came in the flesh, that's the goodness of God showing up in our situation. That's the glory of God. Are you hearing me? See, God's glory is linked to his goodness showing up in a real, tangible way. Are you hearing me? Hebrews chapter 1 tells us, and this is again from last week for those of you who missed the service, but you can always catch up online. Hebrews 1 verses 2 and 3 tells us this about Jesus. He is the sole expression of the glory of God. He is the exact image and representation. He is God put on flesh and is right here in front of you. Jesus is the goodness of God embodied in the flesh. It's the goodness of God that was on that cross taking your place. It's the goodness of God that took on death, hell, and the grave in Jesus taking our punishment in our place. Can I get an amen on that? See, it's not just Jesus. You need to see it as the goodness of God. But he's not only the goodness of God. The Bible says he's the expression of the glory of God. So again, when you think of the glory of God, don't think of clouds, light, smoke. Think of it as God's goodness manifesting in a tangible expression in front of you. See, when Jesus was saying, I'm going to raise Lazarus up, his resurrection was something good. Amen? And it was bringing something good out of something bad. That's the glory of God. And so Jesus said, if you believe, you're going to see the glory of God. You're going to see the goodness of God. You're going to hear me use that interchangeably, but I want to make sure we're all on the same page. Are you there?
Amen.
Good. Now I can start preaching to you. Today I want to talk to you about a topic, the glorious church. The glorious church. Something that as a child I heard about it in songs and hymns, heard about it in sermons and preachers would talk about someday. God is coming back for a glorious church. But today I want to teach you something about the glorious church. But I want to catch you up. For those of you who are new to the faith, you're new to the Bible, you're new to church, you've never heard that phrase before, kind of where do we get it? I want you to see a great scripture that kind of talks about the idea of the glorious church so that you can see where it is and we can all, even though you might be new to church, be on the same page. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27, it'll be on the screen. Husbands, love your wives. Can I get an amen, ladies? There you go. Just as Christ also loved the church, gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. And so God is telling us here that Jesus, I want you to see the initiative of Jesus here, that he is going to sanctify, he cleanses with his word, he presents her to himself. Do you see this? A glorious church. And he has made sure that she has no spot and no wrinkle. Now here's where I want to maybe flip your perspective for a moment. As a kid, I was always taught that that was the church right before Jesus comes. The glorious church. Someday, we are going to be the glorious church. But I want to propose something to you today. I want to propose to you today that the glorious church is not the church of tomorrow, it's the church of today. I want to propose to you today that the church has always been glorious. I want to propose to you today that because of the work of Jesus, we have been sanctified, we have been washed, we have been cleansed, we are without spot and we are without wrinkle. It's not for the future, it's right now. It's not a work that you're doing, it's a work that he has done, and it's a revelation of that work that we will begin to act like the glorious church. Why are we putting all the motivation into the last day's church? Like they're going to be the ones that are the most passionate. They're going to be the ones that are going to get most people saved. I say let's do it now. I say let's be that church today. I say let's stop putting off for tomorrow who we are today. Amen. You are the glorious church. The church has always been glorious. At what point has God's church not been glorious? Now, I'm not talking about people that crowd into buildings and they hang out amongst us and they act all, you know, selfish and wicked and proud and people, look at all the church. You know, there's always been wheat and there's always been tares, the Bible says. But the church of Jesus, see, the church is people. It's not buildings, it's not crowds, it's individual people. And the Bible says God knows those who are his. And every member of the body of Christ from the beginning, in the middle, and wherever the end might be, has always been glorious. See, the difference is the generations and their revelation of who they are. Their confidence in their assignment and in what they were to be about. That's the difference. See, the early church saw the work of Jesus and saw the responsibility and they saw the Spirit in them and they said, we're going to go make a difference. They saw what God had brought them out of and what God had brought them into, and they had no excuses. They knew they were the light of the world. They knew they were the city on the hill. But somehow, somewhere over the generations, we began to push off that idea of glory into another generation. that idea of authority into another generation, that idea of effectiveness into another generation. But the church from beginning to end is glorious. Filled with the goodness of God, the church is the tangible manifestation of His goodness in every generation. It is His hands, it is His face, it is His arms extended in every generation. I propose to you today, we have always been the glorious church. From day one, the church has had the Spirit of God on the inside. Amen? That's glorious. That's God's glory. That's God's goodness. We have had the same power that raised Christ from the dead has been in the church from day one. From day one, we have been washed and made as white as snow by the blood of Jesus. From day one, we have had the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, which will make any demon run, which will break any bondage. Amen. From day one, we have been filled with gifts and callings and anointings. We have been given everything we need for life and godliness. From day one of the church, it has lacked nothing. It has always been potent. It has always been at maximum power and increase. The church will not get more anointed in the last days than it has available to it right now. The church will not become more dear to God than it is right now. The church will not be more powerful, more gifted, more talented, more pure, more holy, because it's all in Jesus right now. Amen. See, the concept that the last days church are going to work out all the bugs goes back into the idea of the flesh again. That they're going to love Jesus more than we do. They're going to be holier than we are. They're going to have more confidence than we do. But all that's just a mindset. Holiness is a choice you can make right now. Amen. Authority is what you have now. You have the same authority that Peter, James, and John of the early church had. You have the same authority Jesus had. The latter-day church is not going to get more of what you already have. It's just, will you possess it? Will you access it? Will you see it? Will you call yourself the glorious church? Amen. That's powerful. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. You know, the idea that the last-day's church is going to have more stuff worked out. Here's the deal. The last day's church, if it's the philosophy that everybody kind of has a motivation, this glorious church, here's the deal with that. They should be getting tremendous amounts of people saved. And anytime someone comes into Jesus for the first time, they're going to have a whole bunch of baggage and issues. So which means the last day's church still is going to have immaturity, still going to have carnality that has to be sorted through, still going to have things that have to be processed. And so if they've gotten themselves into perfection, it's going to spoil the moment they receive converts. Do you understand what I just said? It's an unrealistic idea to attain that somehow it's this holy little group that gets all of its act together and the church is just perfect and lovely. Here's the thing. If Jesus doesn't make us washed, if Jesus doesn't make us holy, if Jesus doesn't sanctify us, we can't do it on our own. We can't just get our act together. And by the time normally we get some things sorted out in our lives, we're about 120 years old and we're dying and going to heaven. It's like you think about that. By the time most of us get things sorted out, we're like on our way out. Amen. And so we can't put it off to someday the church is going to get its act together. We are together because of Jesus. Our act is together because of Jesus. But we have to now start seeing it and living out of that mentality. Living out of that identity that He has put upon us. That we are glorious. We are good. In His making. Listen to this verse in Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm going to read to you from verses 2 or 8 through 10. 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Saved from what? For those of you that are new to the church, saved from your sins, saved from your misbehaving, saved from your the curse that was upon our lives, saved from the condemnation that when we die, we would go to hell, be separated from God, separated from His goodness for all eternity. It's a work of grace. It's something that you did not earn, you did not deserve. It's a work of grace, but you have to, by faith, lay hold of it. And so today, if you've never done that, I'm going to make a challenge at the end of the service. God is providing a new life for you. God is providing a clean bill of rights for you. God is providing a new beginning for you by His grace, and He just needs you to say yes and reach out by faith and receive it. Amen. It's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It's not a result of works so that any of us will boast. Listen, this is the part I want you to see. For we are His workmanship. Underline that in your Bibles, please. We are whose workmanship?
His.
We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And I can add glorious works. Wherever we bring good works, God gets glory. Amen? Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. But this week when I was studying that phrase, the recreated, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, leapt off the page for the first time. I've never seen it like this before. It's all a grace message. It's all given to you by grace. You just receive it by faith. But the Bible here says, you are created, you are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Everything God makes is good. Everything God makes is complete and is to His standard of expectation. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He's the craftsman. So if a craftsman is building something, a car, a house, the craftsman is in charge of the quality of the work. Do you hear what I just said? Each and every one of us, which all make up the church, not buildings. Remember what I said. The church is not, you know, the steeple and open the doors and there's all the peoples, okay? That's not the church. The church is every individual collectively as well that God has done a work in. So that means that's why the crowd doesn't make up the church. There's irresponsible and selfish and all kinds of, we get it. Every crowd has stuff. But I'm talking the church. In the crowd, you'll find the church. In the congregations, you'll find the church. People who've truly given their hearts to Jesus and made Him the Lord and Savior of their life. And the Bible says that God is the one that has created them. He is the workman over their life. You are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. This goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 3. In the first creation of the world and of man, God stepped back, and what did He say over His creation? He said it was good. He called it good, didn't He? Finished, good, complete. And it truly was finished. It truly was good. It was glorious. Amen. To where the angels looked at creation and said, what is man that You were mindful of him, that You have crowned him with glory and with honor. Angels of heaven were impressed by the creation that God stepped back and said, I outdid myself. It was that good. That was the first creation. But then God took that first creation and He put it in the hands of man. Adam. Adam then took that creation, which was good, which God made complete and God made glorious in that first creation, and Adam came and he sinned and rebelled and he destroyed that first creation that God made through his disobedience and rebellion. So God didn't make what it was good. God didn't make what was good bad. We did. When God finished it, it was good. Are you understanding the first creation? All right, because I'm about to take you to the second creation. Do you understand what I said about the first creation? When God's the workman, it was good. When God makes something, He makes it finished, good, perfect, amazing. Well, the Bible tells us in the New Testament that we are now a part of what's known as the second creation. What does that mean? Well, it's that verse I just read to you. We are now recreated in Christ Jesus. Okay, God recreates the human being. God recreates you from the inside out. The Bible says old things are passed away and all things have become new. And that second creation, we call it the new creation. We call it the second creation, is a handiwork of who? God. And so when God makes a second creation, when God makes a creation, he steps back when he's finished and he calls it what?
Good.
Which means it's a manifestation of his glory. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The best part about the second creation is that it's not linked to us anymore. It's not linked to the first Adam. It's linked to who the Bible calls the second Adam. And it's linked to the fact that he is obedient unto death. He will never change. He has fulfilled the law. He has fulfilled our part of the system and obligation. So where the first creation, which was good, was messed up by man, this second glorious work, this second good work, is now on the shoulders of Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. This new work done in you will never go away. It will never be destroyed. It's not contingent on your good work. It was contingent on the second Adam's good work, who is Jesus, and it is an eternal work. Amen. So now you have been recreated in Christ. And God steps back and calls you at the moment of your salvation. God steps back and calls you good. Calls you good. In the moment of the first church, it was recreated in Christ Jesus. It was the new creation. When God's done creating, you're saying, Kevin, you're repeating yourself. I know. Because you have to get this. Say, man, this is deep theology. I know. Someone has to preach this stuff. We're all just going to get cotton candy Christianity. Amen. You got to know who you are in Jesus. You have to know why you're glorious. You have to know why you're good and that it's not going away. We have to stop putting the expectation of the goodness and the glory of God onto another generation. The new creation from the beginning, God has pronounced it good, which is his goodness in manifestation, which means it's been glorious from day one. We have always been the glorious church. Good in God's eyes, in good standing with God, able to go boldly into the throne of grace. Wherever you go, you are the goodness of God towards you and through you being manifested in the generation. We have always been the glorious church. Filled with the Spirit, filled with authority, washed in the blood of Jesus, in right standing with God. We've always been the glorious church. Amen. Let me show you who you are. And I love that this new creation isn't linked on our obedience. It's linked onto Jesus, the second Adam. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Talking about who you are, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it is like... it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself. You walk away and forget who you are and what you look like. But if you look carefully into that perfect law that sets you free, if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. I want to read that verse 23 one more time. If you listen to the word and you obey it, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself. See, this scripture is telling us that when we look into the Word of God, you're seeing your reflection. You're seeing what God sees when He looks at you. See, we see ourselves with natural eyes, but God doesn't look at us with natural eyes. Man looks at the outward appearance, the Bible says, but God looks at the heart. So when you look into the Word of God, you see you, not what you will be, but what you are.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen. The what you will be is this: when this physical body falls off and we get a new body, hallelujah for that. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But when it comes to the glorious church, when it comes to you being without spot or wrinkle, too many times we think, oh, Jesus, please, I got so many wrinkles and so many spots. I'm here to tell you that when Jesus washes you with his blood, when we recreate you, he doesn't recreate you with spots and wrinkles. You have been made without spot or wrinkles because of His work in you. This is not a progressive thing. This is something that He does in you. When you look in that word, you see, like in a mirror, your face. You say, "Oh, don't I see Jesus' face?" Yeah, you do. But you also see your face. When you look in the mirror, when you look in that word, you see you. Not what you're not, but what you are. See, the Old Testament was all what we're not, what we're not, what we're not. We fall short, we fall short, we fall short. But the New Testament is what He's placed us into. What you have become. But what happens is if I stop looking at my face in the mirror and I walk away, I forget what I look like. And I begin to listen to what everyone else tells me I look like. Someone says, "Your face looks messed up." Well, thank you. Someone says, "Your hair looks messed up." Someone says, "This is wrong with you." Someone says, "That's wrong with you." You begin to believe it. You begin to say what's wrong with you. You begin to focus. You begin to be all this stuff about what's wrong with you. And you need to go back and look in the mirror and see what you really look like. Amen. Don't trust what someone else is telling you look like. And don't even trust yourself with what you're telling yourself you look like if you're not looking at yourself in the mirror. Amen. Because there's times I feel like my hair is all messed up. And there's times I feel like I look insignificant. There's times where I feel like I look like a failure. Can I get a witness, anybody? There are times I feel like I don't belong in the family of God. But the truth is in your reflection, which is only found in the mirror of the Word of God, which says, even though I may feel one way, in reality, I'm a child of God. Even though I may feel like I don't fit, God says, "I make a place for you." That's your reflection in the mirror of the Word. But if you walk away and don't go look at yourself, you'll forget who you really are, which is what I'm saying. The church forgets they're the glorious church because they're letting everyone else tell them that they're insignificant, that it's for a future day, that someday the church will get its act together. I'm telling you today, if you'll wake up and see who you are, we can go do anything that any Latter-day church or the first church ever did. We still have the same spirit. It's not another spirit. We have the same word. We have the same grace. We have the same gifts and callings. It doesn't get better at the end if we'll just wake up and live it now. Are you receiving this? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, notice the next line, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. Whoa, 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 back up the train. Doot, doot. What image is in that mirror? The glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. We are being transformed into what image? The image of the glory of the Lord. We are transformed into that image of the glory of the Lord, into the same image. From glory to glory, just as from the Lord who is the Spirit. Now let me read it again, so that you can really get excited. We all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, and this is by the Spirit of God. Whose image is in that mirror? The glory of the Lord. Didn't I tell you Hebrews chapter 1 said Jesus is the sole expression, the image of the glory of the Lord? So you can accurately say, in that mirror is the glory of the Lord. You can accurately say, in that mirror is the reflection of Jesus, is the image of Jesus. Do you see the connection? Four of you see it? Have I not done a good job at connecting the dots for you? Connect the dots, la, 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 la. Anybody? In that mirror, the glory of the Lord. In that mirror, the image of Jesus. In that mirror, we read, that's the word. That's the perfect word, amen, in that mirror. But I'm here to tell you, someone else is in that mirror. It's you. That's your reflection. You say, whoa, 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 that's Jesus' reflection. Do you not know you're the body of Christ? You say, wait a minute, wait a minute. That's the word's reflection. You are born of that word. You have become that word. That word is in you. You are in that word. Amen. Say, that image is the glory of the Lord. That's you, my friend. You are the glory of the Lord in you. That's why you're the salt of the earth. That's why you're a city on a hill. That's why you're a light that cannot be hidden. Because the goodness of God that has been created in your life, the glory of God that's upon you, goes everywhere you go. You have been made good. You have been made glorious. You have been filled with His power. You have been filled with His Spirit. You have been washed. You have been cleansed. The spots and the wrinkles. Jesus said, He's perfected. He's washed with His word. Amen. That is you in that mirror. Say, that's Jesus in there. Yeah, but that's what you look like. You know what's cool? I love this idea. Normally, what I look like out here affects what I look like in there. But in what I'm telling you, the reflection in there affects what you are out here. What you see in the mirror affects what you become out here. Bottom line, why is this important, Pastor Kevin? Let me tell you why it's important. Because every single one of us walks around with more confidence when we feel like we look good in the mirror.
Amen.
Why does the church need to know this? Because every one of us, it's just part of who we are. We walk in this world with our head held high. We walk with an identity. We walk with an authority when we feel like we look good in the mirror.
Amen.
I don't care who you are. If you feel like you got a good haircut and you look good, you look at yourself and you go, man, people are lucky to be looking at me today. And you walk like this. The bounce. If you feel like you don't look good in the mirror, you walk like this. When you don't look good in the mirror, you don't want anybody looking at you. I feel fat. I feel bloated. I feel bald. I feel this. I feel that. I had too much salt last night. That's what it is. It can't be because I'm fat. I had too much salt last night. When you feel like you don't look good in the mirror, you don't walk around with your head up looking who to be good at, looking who to help, looking at how to make a difference, looking at someone else other than yourself, trying to make someone else's life better rather than always focusing on you. When you look good in a mirror, you walk around with confidence and authority and expectation. You want people to see you. You didn't buy those shoes for you. You bought them for them. This is for their benefit. This is for your benefit. I did all this for you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But the church for far too long only sees the bad that's in it. It sees its spots. It sees its wrinkles. It sees its imperfections. We're trained to see all of our failures and our imperfections rather than doing what the Word of God says, which starts seeing your reflection in the glory, starts seeing your reflection in Christ, starts seeing your reflection in the Word of who you already are. And you know what's going to happen to the church? It's going to start believing it's the salt. It's going to start believing it's the light. It's going to start believing it's the answer to the world's problems. It's going to start moving forward like it has something to say. It's going to want to be set on a hill. It's going to want to be in front of people because we know who we are and we know what we can do to help them. Amen. The word transformed, you've been transformed, okay? You've been transformed. We're being transformed from one degree of glory to another. I want you to see something. Do we have a way to go? Yes. Are we a work in progress? Yes. Do we need to work out, you know, behavior patterns? Yes. Do we need to work out mindsets? Yes. Do we need to work out still temptations that are still stuck in our flesh? Absolutely. But I want you to hear me say something. In this transformation, this metamorphosis that's happening over your life, the Bible always calls you glory. You're being transformed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. Never calls you dirt, does it? Never calls you scum, does it? Never calls you sinner, does it? Never calls you broken and abandoned, does it? Even though we're growing in glory, and yes, we have maturing to do, you're always good. You're always in the glory. You're always God's glory in you because you're His workmanship. And God doesn't make junk. And God doesn't make things half done. And God doesn't make things with spot or wrinkles. Amen.
Amen.
Those spots and wrinkles that we're working out and all that, that's all found in our flesh. It's found in our soulish area. But the spirit you, the real you made in God is perfect. It's spotless. It's blameless. Are you understanding how this works? I'm saying the you that's recreated is without spot, is without blemish. And all this stuff that we're still dealing with, God never calls you anything less than glory. From glory to glory. And this is by His Spirit. He's not asking you to do it. He's asking you to believe it. He's asking you to keep your eyes on it so you don't forget who you are when you fail. Why do we need to look in that mirror? Because when I fall into the dirt, I need to see who I am still. When I make a mistake, I need to go back to that mirror and see who I am still. Every time I go into that mirror, it'll tell me who I am rather than who I want to tell myself I am. Or who the devil wants to tell me I am. The word transformed is the same word as changed, metamorphosis. It means a change. I'm going to just do the second definition, guys, in the sound booth. It means a change of the form or nature of a thing or person into a completely different one by natural or supernatural means. That's in your dictionary. That word transformed by the Spirit from glory to glory, it means this definition, changed in the form or nature of a thing or person into a completely different one. You're not just a better version of what you were. He's made you a new creation. It's by the Spirit. It's not by you. It's by the Spirit. And this is by a natural or supernatural means. For us, it's a supernatural means. In a world that just shows us what's wrong with us all the time, I'm trying to tell you what's right with us. Okay? Unlike popular practice, we don't make strides when we hate ourselves and see all of our failures all the time, but when we see our potential and we see who God has put on the inside of us. Our greatest athletes out there aren't ones that focus on all their failures, but rather hear who they still are even when they fall. You're still the glorious church even when we fall. We're still glorious. We're still in God's goodness. We're still powerful even when we make mistakes. And so I'm trying to help you start seeing yourself out of the future tense, like someday I'll become, and I want you to see what you already are. See, the reason Adam and Eve fell short of their glory is because they didn't see what they already had. That's why the church, every generation, falls short of its glory. They don't realize what's already on the inside of it. They're all looking through 6 more conferences, then they'll become glorious. 5 more workbooks. When I get my prayer life all worked out, when I get my Bible study all worked out, one of these days, and we always put off for tomorrow who we are today. That's why Adam and Eve fell short of their glory. I'm telling the glorious church right now, we fall short of our glory all the time because we don't know who we are today. They missed who they were. Adam and Eve missed who they already were. That's why they were able to be deceived and talked out of who they were. The glorious church happens in every generation. And so I say we change it. I say we change it. I say we wake up and we just become. We just believe what the Word says about us. And we begin to call ourselves the glorious church. And I believe as we begin to speak that over our lives and we begin to call ourselves the glorious church, we begin to believe it, we begin to act on it, we begin to do glorious works all over this planet, bringing good, healing all who are oppressed of the devil. Not putting that off on a church that gets everything worked out. There'll never be a church that's all perfect. Even the apostles weren't all perfect. Paul said, those things I don't want to do, I do, and the things I do want to do, I don't do. But you know what? Paul brought lots of glory. And Paul acted in the glory of God. He was the glorious church, even with things he was working through, he was still the glorious church. Amen. 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 One last scripture and I'm going to close. Colossians chapter 1. Did you get anything out of this today? Last chapter, last scripture. Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 and 23 through 23. Although you were formerly alienated and hostile in your mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now. Circle that in your Bibles, please. He, being Jesus, has now reconciled you in his fleshly body, that was his sacrifice, through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. That's you, my friend. And that's a work Jesus did. Notice what he just called you in him. In him. In him. Those who've believed in him, put their faith in him, received the grace in him. It doesn't say that he's working out all these spots and working out all these wrinkles over this period of time. This is what it says. He has now reconciled you to present you to himself holy. He's made you holy. Blameless. Blameless. He's done it beyond reproach. Amen. Our part is this. If indeed you continue in faith, firmly established, not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which is the good news of God's grace to you. So when you don't feel holy and blameless and without reproach, you go back to the word about you, the gospel, and you hold on to that, and you stay firm in it. And it doesn't matter the times and where you get distracted or the times where you mess up. Not if you hold on. Not if you hold on to Jesus and not if you hold on to the hope of that gospel. You're still in right standing with God. You're still blameless. You're still good. And you're still the glorious church. Amen. Go ahead and stand up. Let's close in a word of prayer. Amen. Let me pray over you and bless you. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you for the good work you've done in us. I thank you for this new creation that we are in Christ Jesus. Lord, all the time we see our failures. We're trained to see our failures. We're trained to see our inadequacies. We're trained to see what we're not. And I'm asking by work of the Spirit that you help us as Life Church, and I speak this out over all the church that loves Jesus and given their hearts to him, that we would stop putting off our identity to a future generation, that we would stop putting off our authority and our responsibility to a future generation, and that we would live like the glorious church today, that God, we would go around doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. We fail, yes. We make mistakes, yes. But Lord, I thank you that doesn't change what you've done in us. So Lord, I just pray right now for grace. I pray for a breaking off of condemnation and guilt for those who have given their hearts to you completely, where the devil just continues to remind them of their brokenness, remind them of their failures in their past, or maybe they're bringing it up all the time. Lord, I pray that we would begin to see what you see about us, and that, Lord, we'd find ourselves outgrowing those sin patterns. We'd find ourselves outgrowing those bondages. We'd find ourselves not doing those things anymore. So I bless Life Church to grow and to thrive and to be the glorious church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you celebrate that, please? Amen. Amen. I want to give you an opportunity to become a part of this message of grace that we talked to you about. You know, for some of you, this might be the first time you've ever heard God's expectation here, that God is trying to help you become, that God is trying to put you back together, that God is for you, he's not against you, that God is speaking the right over a life that is wrong. The Bible says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we have to deal with that sin issue, and we can't do it on our own. We can't fix that sin issue on our own. That the wages of our sin is death, separation from God, the Bible says. That's hell, that's separation from his goodness, that's separation from himself. But the gift of God is the goodness of God. The gift of God is Jesus Christ, our Lord. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Bible goes on to say, all who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so today, if you want to get things right with God, if you want to see your sins forgiven and yourself washed and God cleanse you and give you a new creation start, then you can do that today. So if everyone would bow their heads and close their eyes, I want to give everyone in the room an opportunity to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You might say, Pastor Kevin, I've never given my life to Jesus. I cannot remember a time that I ever asked God to be my God or Jesus to forgive me of my sins. Or maybe you say, Pastor Kevin, I'm someone that was running with Jesus. I had a relationship with God, but for some reason I started falling away, getting tempted back into my old lifestyle, and I got my eyes off that mirror. I got my eyes off Jesus, and I just kept believing those old things about myself and got myself back into all kinds of bondage and sin and all kinds of stuff. Today, if you're out of relationship with God for any reason, I want to help bring you back into a right relationship with the Lord. And all he's asking you to do is call on the name of the Lord, and he says he will save you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm not going to call you to the front. I'm going to pray with you right at your seat. But would you be brave enough, though, to acknowledge that you want to give your heart to Jesus? If you were to die today, you don't know where you would go. You don't know how you'd be standing in front of the presence of God. Well, let's make it right today. No one's looking around but me. I'm not going to call you to the front, but I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. If that's you, say, Pastor Kevin, I want to get right with God today. Would you please raise your hand so I can see it? Pop your hand up wherever it is all over the room today. There's a hand over there. Thank you very much. Anybody else? I'm not in right relationship with God, and I want to be today. Just put your hand up today. God will make your life glorious. He'll bring his goodness into your life. Anybody else? Just pop your hand up today. I'd be honored to pray for you wherever you are. There's no need to leave this place out of relationship with God. All right, let's pray. Everyone pray together, would you please? Dear God, I thank you that you see me just as I am. I realize I've sinned and I've walked away from God. I ask Jesus Christ today to be my Lord and Savior. I believe that he died for me and that he rose again. Please forgive me of my sins. Wash me, cleanse me, make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Take every part of me now. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you celebrate the one? Amen. Get my prayer teams to come in the front. We've got some great prayer workers that are going to be up here. They're going to believe God. If you need a miracle in your life, you need healing, you need a freedom of some sort, a breakthrough. These prayer teams are wonderful individuals. They go through all kinds of classes and training. And the reason I say that is that you can trust them. We trust them. On your way out, if you prayed that prayer to give your heart to the Lord today or rededicate your life to the Lord, right behind our video cameras is a New Beginnings area. There's some great volunteers there that have Bibles for you, resources to connect you. We just want to help you any way we can. Let me bless you and send you out. Lord, I pray for signs following this message. That Lord, like we said, when we feel like we look good in the mirror, we walk with greater confidence. And I ask that that begins to happen in each and every one of our lives. And Father, we begin to see who we are in Jesus. And we begin to believe who we are in Jesus, and that we walk like the glorious church and bring the goodness of God everywhere we go. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you as you go. Darkness fills